Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Yo, yo, what up, 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 though? Welcome to the Ball Hawk Show podcast. I'm your host, Amon Hawkins. Appreciate you taking time out today, man. We got to recap the national champs in football, and that's the Michigan Wolverines. As they bullied Washington, got the dub. Whoever want to join the show live. It's a special lunchtime edition here on Tuesday, January 9th. We also got to talk about Shannon Sharp has some choice words for Jameis Winston because of what the offense did versus the Atlanta Falcons when they scored at the end of the game out of the victory formation. So give people thoughts on that as well. This episode is sponsored by Aber Insurance. Go to Aber Insurance for all your insurance needs. That's home, business, auto, life insurance. The great people at Aber. If you want to join, the link is in the description on Facebook. If you're looking at it on Twitter, just say, yo, how can I join the show in the chat? It'll pop up and I'll send the link within the tweet. But where should we start out first? Should we start out with the national championship game or should we go right into the messy stuff of Shannon Sharp going at Jameis by himself? And I got an issue with that. I'm going to just leave my comments for, you know, when people share their feelings about what took place. Believe it or not, I don't think like everybody else. So, yeah, you'll probably be surprised at what I think about the situation. I don't really think nothing of it, man. I don't know, maybe because I'm older now. Like, I really don't get bothered by stuff that everybody get bothered by when it comes to sports or things I should be bothered by, but I just don't get bothered by it. Maybe it's because it's not happening to me, but even if it did happen to me, it's like, I don't care. It is what it is, you know? So, talking about the national championship, man, salute to Michigan. Michigan, for all you old heads out there, they demonstrated old school. They had an old school approach. And maybe because their quarterback was a game manager, my Cam Newton voice. But the way that they dominated the line of scrimmage, because any team that's successful, it starts in the trenches. That's usually the biggest discrepancy when you talk about FBS and FCS, pretender, contender, a championship team, the trenches. The trenches, the trenches, the trenches. And when you look at Michigan, they ran the ball 38 times, threw the ball 19 times. I know a dude like Czar would be very excited to say, I told you so, I told you so, I told you so. I got you with the link in YouTube. There you go. A dude like that is going to come on this show if he's available and going to be like, I told you, man, you got to run the football. You got to run the football. You got to run the football. Everybody being too cute. You got to run the football. And that's exactly what Michigan did. Was it due to their quarterback not being as good as the analysts are saying? Because he's the number five quarterback on the board as far as like the mock draft of rating different positions. So it's a tale of two things. It's almost like both quarterbacks lost yesterday. Like, nobody want to give JJ credit. The dude only lost one game in his college career, was first team, all conference, quarterback of the year in this conference. Hold on, what's that graphic I shared? Was that a everybody or just his conference? Anyway, I don't think it was everybody. If it was, let me know in the chat. But then you look at Michael Penix Jr. Just a week ago, they loved you, bro. They loved you. Oh, my God. Everybody, oh, I hope he drops to me. Oh, we need to trade up and get Penix. I want Penix. But after yesterday, everybody like, I don't know about Penix. I don't know. He looked shaky yesterday. Once he won't get protected, why won't he run? You know, because he's a black quarterback. Run. Stop just standing tall. Run. Use your feet. Use your legs. It's a difference what a week can make. It really is, man. Especially when the narratives are shaky, because I talked about this on Sunday during the episode. I was just saying, like, depending on who you are, sometimes your narrative is untouchable. Like, a dude like Caleb Williams, if it was a different quarterback in which everybody wasn't super high on him or what he can physically do, calling him a generational talent, having the season which he had, not saying he had a bad season, but with the expectations when it came with Caleb Williams and the crying in the stands with his mom and things not going right and losing late in the season, a lot of aficionados would have dropped him as far as being the top quarterback. You got people doing that to Drake May right now. They're ready to drop him. You know? Look at a Bo Nix. One year, Bo Nix is trash can juice. The next one, oh, my God, he got all these records. So it just depends on when you hit your bump in the road and where the process is at. That's why the combine always fascinates me, because somebody could have 3 years of magnificent film. They could be first team all conference. They could be two-time player of the year. Like, they could win a lot of games. They could have gaudy stats. But let them not run well, or let them struggle throwing the football at the combine, or let their hands be too small, let their arms be too short, or let them not do so many reps on the bench press. Now, everything that film shows you comes into question because of something that's in a controlled environment. You know, sometimes they say guys are gamers. Sometimes you got the workout warriors. You got guys who can master running a 40-yard dash, that can master running a short shuttle. They really can. Like, they could get you a 4-4, 4-3 waking up without stretching. Unlike Cat Williams, they will run. That, let me not do that, man. That was messy. Because Cat ain't do nothing to me. But I saw that video in the gym, Cat. Like, come on, fam. And whoever posted that and showed it was 4-4, you do realize how long a basketball court is from baseline to baseline. Like, that's not 120 feet. That's what 40 yards is. And y'all up here. But then again, it's just comedy, right? We just laughing. So, you know, it's just
comedy. What up, Hulk?
What's good with you, bro?
Hey, how long is that baseline to baseline?
What is it, 92, 94? Yeah, so 94. It ain't 120.
A big difference. And when you're talking 40, people are like, it's just a little bit of a difference.
No, that's a big difference. That's a whole second.
Yeah.
That's an entire second.
Yeah. As the difference between getting your boots smoked and, you know, track meets, it looked different.
What? That's different between being a skilled guy and in the trenches.
And a fat boy.
Having it look, lose weight or gain weight.
That's right.
That's right. 1 second.
And if you 5'5", Cat Williams, you can't gain enough weight.
Hey, man. I mean, he did say he just run a 4-4. He ain't say the distance, so, you know.
Pulling the czar right now.
Oh, yeah, he definitely did. What's good with you, man? What you think about the game yesterday?
the game, trenches, man. Trenches matter. Yo, them linebackers of Washington were catching, and they caught a lot. Michigan's O-line working up to the second level, they were destroying them boys. They made a good move, though. I felt like going with not going with Corum to start out the game and going with the speedier back, because he was able to get through some of those seams and really make big gains. I think Corum, being a little bit slower, he's a little bit more of a patient runner.
Yeah.
You know, he lets things develop a little bit more. So I liked a lot of the things Harbaugh did, and I have been very critical of Harbaugh in big games.
Okay.
You know,
I think everybody has been, because they always say he struggles in the big game.
Oh, he tried it, though.
He tried it. He tried to give it away.
Half, he tried it. He was like, nah, I'm going to pass this thing. And
it's I don't like that. And again, man, being the offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, head coach, you know, when you're in the confines of your home, or you're in the booth, or you're holding the mic on the sideline covering the game, it's easy to just, you know, to second guess, because we see the result. But even still, like, I never understood why coaches felt like they have to be super smart. Like, you could be simple sometimes, just keep running it and running it and running it and running it and running it. But a lot of times people change before the defense even demonstrates that they caught up to what you're doing.
And that's something that Coach B pointed out yesterday that Washington did. They ran the same play two plays in a row. Didn't hit the first time, receiver dropped the ball, they ran it again.
Yeah. What up,
Alex? You know what I'm saying? And you can do that. Like, you can run the same play. Okay, if it gained eight, run it again.
Run it again.
I'm going to run it till you stop it.
I'm going to run it till you show me that you can unequivocally shut it down. And you had to do it three times in a row. Not, maybe not three times in a row, but three consecutive times of me running that play.
Yeah.
Like, it has to be a pure indicator that you stopped it versus, like you just stated, a self-inflicted wound, whether I dropped the pass, I ran the wrong route, I slipped on the route, protection broke down. Something has to demonstrate to me that no matter what I did, you stopped it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you had to stop it.
Especially if I got a guy that's overly aggressive. Like, I got an end that's overly aggressive. And I run that read, and he's biting every time. Oh, we're going to keep running it. Keep running it. Because he's going to keep biting.
Yeah, but Raymond said, you think he's going to the NFL. What team do you think he's going to? What's your thoughts on Harbaugh, if you think he's going? I think he's going, but I don't know what team.
Unfortunately, I think he's going to have to go.
Yeah.
I think some of those sins of recruiting is going to catch up with him, and he's going to have to leave. If I'm looking at the teams out there, there's two teams that jump out that I'm like, these are teams he could go to, and he could make these teams really good.
Okay. What up, Frankie?
That's the Raiders.
Okay.
If they make that move, I don't think they should make that move. But if
I'm with you on that, yeah, I like Antonio.
Yeah, or the Commanders. And I say the Commanders because they're cleaning house. He's got 3 years.
Yeah,
automatically.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think the Chargers is a good fit because they're not going to give up the control that he wants.
So you just said the Chargers. BJ said it too.
Yeah. Yeah. They say it's the Chargers, but I don't think the Chargers want to give up the control that he wants. He wants control. He likes control. We saw that in San Francisco.
He said Harbaugh was searching real estate out that way recently.
Isn't that what they said for Sean Payton last year?
I think so. And it ended up coming to fruition. Yeah. Well, they'll say follow the money, right?
Yeah. Now, I think that would have been a debacle, but, you know, we had a whole conversation at Gridiron yesterday about Mr. Payton. you know, it was interesting.
Well, what was it? Give us a cliffhanger, Cliff Notes.
Okay.
A review.
So, basically, the only reason Sean Payton didn't escalate it to that point in New Orleans was because of the Bensons. The Bensons were like, nope, we're going to pay these guys. Don't worry about it. We got it. You know, we'll make do our roster magic like we always do, and we'll find money.
Yeah.
So he didn't have to worry about that. Now he's got the great value ownership behind him.
Great value for real.
And they like, do what you do. And he said, I got an idea how we can save money. Here we are. Russ is being coerced into changing his contract. You know, I think that's a really slippery slope for the NFL not to crack down on.
Yeah.
You know, because think about it, even if I don't like Russell Wilson, I like my money. You know what I'm saying? If you could do that to Russ, what stop you from doing it to me?
No matter what. Because if they would have done this to Russ last year, I don't think anybody would have had an issue.
No.
Nobody wouldn't have had an issue because his performance was indicative of what he was getting paid. But the fact that he was playing well this season, which he was playing better than what he did last year.
Yeah.
They were definitely in the hunt of the, like, you were in the playoff hunt. Like, think about this, bro. As much as folks talk about, like, players not wanting to play, and like, he sabotaged his own self right there.
They were one game.
They were one game.
And correct me if I'm wrong, if they would have kept winning, right? If they had kept rusting, kept winning, that position that became available when the Jaguars lost would have been their position. They'd be in the playoffs right now. But you cut your nose off to spite your face.
Raymond said, I think Russ is going to Pittsburgh. I don't know Pittsburgh's cap. I don't know what the Broncos would try to get in return for Russ, because they would have to trade, if they cut him, that wouldn't be a bad move, because you just need somebody who's serviceable at that team, it looks like. Like, especially with the receiver they got there, that young blood.
He's going to be a forced cut, though, just like they did with Carr.
You talking about Russ?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So that means, yeah, he could. Who you think would be in the market to really go after Russ? You feel like other teams feel like he's damn as good and he not good anymore? Like, I wonder what's the perception about Russell Wilson, not Westbrook, but Russell Wilson around the NFL.
I think a guy like Tomlin could possibly. I mean, we've seen Herm Edwards do wonders with guys, right? Mm-hmm. And I kind of put Tomlin in that player guy where he's, you know, He's going to be a player's coach, but he holds you accountable.
He said they know. Beam said we know he's not going to Atlanta.
Actually, depending on the coach they get.
He said because future there. Probably Washington, and I'll jump if they do. Maybe, yeah, because, you know, it's new management. So, you know, Washington's not the Washington we know of old. So, I like somebody like me who love to slander Washington even got to be like, that's interesting, because the toxicity isn't there anymore. Like, they got rid of the toxic human beings, in my opinion.
You got to think they did bring in McNabb, and he was past his prime. Just saying. I know.
That's what I'm saying. I'm trying to get these new owners a clean slate. That's why I ain't even say that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm trying to not be petty and punish them for what the last girlfriend did to them. You know what I'm saying?
It wouldn't be a bad place, because you think Russ with Scary Terry and Dawson, and they have where they're number three. So they have a shot at Fashanu to give him some protection. That's not a bad move. And then they could draft a Bo Nix later to sit behind Russ.
Ooh, okay.
You know, I think a lot of people pass up some of the less notable name guys, thinking that they're not going to be good, but you give some of those guys time to mature and really get into an NFL system, There's some good quarterbacks that have good arms out there.
Yeah.
Hartman. Nobody mentions Hartman.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Sam Hartman?
Yeah.
Yeah, he could be like, what's the boy? What's it? Not the boy. The grown man with the beard.
That what's his name?
That's in the commercials.
The Amazon.
Yeah. God, what's his name, man?
Fitzpatrick.
Yep, Fitzpatrick. Yep, he could be Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
He could be Fitzpatrick.
Absolutely. And there's teams that we saw this year, your backup has a lot of value.
A lot of value. Yes.
You know.
Yes.
So you got to have a good backup now because you don't want to be Cincinnati.
No, you do not. You do not. You could be lucky like Cleveland. Like Cleveland lucked up in many more than one way. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like more than one way. I don't think enough is really like the light hasn't really shined on Cleveland how they've maneuvered through injuries and roster moves. Like, and here we are. You know, like even Tomlin. I know Tomlin ain't won a Super Bowl, and I know everybody want to brag about the, you know, under 500 record and things like that. But in today's NFL, to maneuver through injuries, salary cap, guys underperforming, and you always have a making sure you got a chance to be in the mix for the postseason, it's like what as an owner is what you really want. A lot of these owners chase the biggest prize, and they don't understand what it takes to achieve that biggest prize. But even if they achieve it, they go off a cliff. Like they fall all the way off.
Yeah.
Like you ain't even competing anymore. Yes, you got the biggest prize 15 years ago. But since then, you've been like, you ain't made no money.
Right. Like,
you might have made money, but your product don't look well. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I get it. But yeah, that was the main thing with the whole Peyton thing, but we spent a lot of time talking about your boy Jameis.
Yeah, yeah. Let's go ahead and transition to Jameis. Well, it's a shame that Jameis is the focus of this because it wasn't like he said do what I say and everybody said sir, yes sir. But Jameis being the leader type. We was on Gilbert Arena show because they always talk about like what makes a leader. And I feel like I might be Rashad McCants right now with my stance on this, but Jameis Winston, man, got in the game, victory formation. Coach sends in the play to take a knee. Jameis understands that Jamal Williams that went to BYU. I remember when he played against the Hoos 2 years back-to-back, wore number 21, with the Detroit Lions, scored like 17, 18 touchdowns. Yeah. Comes to New Orleans, don't see the paint all year. They're in the huddle. They go, what y'all line we on, the one or the three-inch line?
Yeah.
Man, let's get Jamal a touchdown, man.
Yeah.
Everybody says, let's do it. They hike the ball. They get the ball to Jamal. Touchdown. All the guys on offense excited for Jamal. It's guys on the sideline excited for Jamal. People in press row and fans not of the Saints are pissed the hell off. The coach for the Falcons, who probably got a text message say, yo, they got your boxes outside the office. Mm-hmm. Just want to let you know you fired. It's pissed off because his last ever game, somebody victory formation scored on him. Jameis Winston being a consummate pro. And I wish I could share the video, but a lot of times, since I'm streaming on YouTube, it could get flagged. But he was real respectful to a reporter because it was a reporter who respectfully disagreed with
his
decision. And Jameis was real respectful, said, well, that's fine. Like, I'm glad you being, you could tell Jameis wanted to turn up on dude, but he was that's fine. That's fine.
But I applaud the way he handled that.
Yeah, what's your thoughts on just the whole Jameis Winston victory touchdown?
As a teammate, I think it was a phenomenal thing that they did as a team, right?
Yeah.
As a teammate. If Dennis Allen, though, I handled that a little bit of a different way.
Okay.
I'm probably going to go and say, you know what? It was one of those things. The players made a decision, you know what I'm saying, on the field, and they did what they did. And, you know, I apologize to Arthur and everything else and blah, 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 blah. Say what I got to say in public.
Yeah.
Behind closed doors. Don't do that to me again.
Yeah. Yeah.
But good job getting him his money. Because you got to think, there's been rumors for now 2 seasons that the guys in the locker room don't like you.
Don't like the coach.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, this isn't nothing new. I mean, they had guys last year that weren't talking to him past like week 10. Important guys.
It's just got this really just took a turn for okay, now I got a new rebuttal. Keep going though.
Because you remember the Jameis injury happened, I think, week 4 against us when he got pulled. And they started going with Andy, whatever. I can't remember his last name, Red Rocket. So they started going with him.
Okay.
Jameis, week 12, 13, I think it was, said, hey, I'm okay.
Okay.
I just can't get my starting job back. He did that interview. Mm-hmm. And he couldn't get his starting job back. Dennis Allen saying, no, he's still injured. At the same time that he's saying, I'm okay, I'm ready to play. He's saying, no, he's injured. So there's that riff there. There was other riffs. I think Alvin Kamara had they end up having like a players only meeting, you know, and stuff like that. So there's been a divide between the coach and the locker room. And, you know, that spells death for any coach.
Yeah, yeah.
So then they were coming into the season and they were telling Jameis, like, at the end of last season, it's your job to lose. But then we signed Derek Carr.
Yep.
So now there's that rift there. So Jameis probably looked at it and was like, man, bump this dude.
True, true.
Run it.
True.
So there's more that went into that. That's the reason why Dennis Allen might be on the hot seat. I just think that right now, the only thing I have an issue with was that they were in victory formation. And they ran
I'm glad you said that because I want to have this discussion because I like having discussion with folks who are willing to just have a discussion versus being closed-minded because you're an open-minded guy. Why do you feel like scoring out of victory formation is an issue versus just lining up? Is it because the formation signifies you need to relax, you know, I'm the defense?
To a lot of people. But, you know, like I know, every coach in America tells their guy, during victory formation, be ready.
Say that one more time for me, please.
Be ready, because if that snap get fumbled, if anything go wrong, we got to go. We got, you know what I'm saying, we got hope. If it's 30 seconds left and they run out the clock, they take victory formation and the center quarterback exchange hits the ground, you better be on it. So that's no different to me. So I don't have... I truly don't have a problem, but I see
I know, I'm with you on that too. Yeah, I just wanted to
have a problem. Yeah, me personally, run the score up every time.
And I just want to, because you know it's different from if they hear from me, because I'm with you on that. It's like I understand why fans feel a certain way because they scored out of victory formation. I understand that part. I really do. And all I could do is kind of push back to what you just alluded to, like what we're taught, like. It's almost like a boxer. Like when Floyd knocked out Buddy that was in the Expendables, protect yourself at all times. So even though the ref said fight and you as my opponent want to hug me because you headbutted me and say my bad, that's fine. But I really don't have to even engage in the pleasantries after you violated me. As soon as the ref say do this, I could punch you now. Now, moral code and well, he won't ready. Like, I get all that, but by the lay of the land, this means I could punch you.
That's right.
So it's the same thing. I look at it with the victory formation, same thing. Well, I look at it with, we talked about the high school team scoring 100 points, like Feebles when they scored 100 points with the backups in, and the last play of the game, the Hail Mary. It's just like, I see both sides. I can see you saying, man, that's messed up. Have good sportsmanship. And I can see the other side of saying, we teach people to compete to the end. Don't watch the scoreboard. We always tell the kid, compete. That film is still on. Because I could put the game in any order, and they'll never know what how much time is left on the clock. They're just going to know the ball was snapped. You know what I'm saying? It just depends on how you approach it, your mindset. So when I was pushing back, folks was like, oh, no, that's, you know, a lot of time they'd be like, that's stupid. You're crazy. And I'm just like, why do I have to be crazy just because I'm implementing the same principles play to the end? It's no different than if we're running that. If somebody come in victory formation, let one of the defensive linemen not get in their stance. I bet you they get a negative when that film is graded. I bet you that coach point them out. Get your ass down in the stance.
Yep.
I bet you.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? So it's different ways you could look at it. But the one thing I wanted to discuss today that I was really disappointed in, because especially since you just told me the backstory with their head coach and the riff with the players, I wonder if the great uncle Shannon Sharp was privy to this information, if he would still have the stance he has with Jameis Winston as far as you need to be cut. And if I was on, he said, if I was on in the offensive huddle, I would have sabotaged it and false started just so the play wouldn't have ran. That's what he said. I wanted Jameis cut, and if I was in the huddle, I would have false started. Think about this, bro. You got 10 dudes in the huddle like, yeah, let's get Jamal this touchdown. And you going to be the one guy that says, nope, nope, nope. Shannon doesn't strike me as that type of dude. He really don't.
So what was his concern? Is it safety?
He just said, it's undermining authority. And I understand that. I do. I get that. Like, the guys in that huddle, because even Chad on a, you know, after our show was like, bro, but the entire team, meaning the offense, agreed. It wasn't just Jameis going rogue and saying, snap me the damn ball and Jamal running in for a touchdown. It wasn't like he bullied them. They were in unison. It's like, what y'all think? You know what I'm saying? It's one of the things like, hey, yo, coach tripping, what y'all think? And as a group, you come to one accord and somebody go to coach with what everybody discuss, because we all together.
It's one of those things that it bothers me that you would say, well, I would false start, because now the whole play is running. The whole thing that everybody has to outrage is player safety. They don't care about whether they respect Dennis Allen or not. They're talking about, oh, it was unfair. Somebody could have got hurt. Somebody could have. Okay, so now you false started. Let's say somebody does get hurt. Now all of that's in vain. This dude's hurt. He ain't get his bonus. Everybody pissed.
Yeah, because I don't know. Was it in the center for Jamal for scoring a TD? Yes. Like,
oh, yes.
That's more news I didn't know. So hear me out. So let's look at it like this. Jadeveon Clowney played for the Baltimore Ravens the other day. He needed another sack to get his money. They made sure he played. He got a sack. DeAndre Hopkins needed so many catches and yards. He got the catches, but he didn't get the yards.
Mm-hmm.
And it was trying to make sure he got his money. And that was, and me and my dog Chad, one of my friends on Facebook, was like asking me, like, you know, if a guy has an incentive, but you got everything sewn up, does he play? Especially if he's like one of your star players. And I told him, in the perfect world with me, I would hope there's a way I could get him his money despite him not reaching the incentive, because I know I'm sitting him this last game. Like, if by average he's getting that yard, or by average he's getting that catch or that touchdown or whatever he needs, if the averages show that he was averaging at least that, well, I got to take it out of my own pocket, or I got to go to management. We're going to get him his money, because his health means more to me than this incentive, but he deserves the incentive. You know what I'm saying? Exactly. That's just my approach.
But my thing is, you had already scored 41 points. Dennis Allen, you could have put him in at any point on the goal line to get his money. That would have earned you so much credit in the locker room. See, that's what people don't understand.
Who did that last night?
Harbaugh.
For Corn. Yeah. Remember that his that yeah. Corn, like Corn. That game was he put the Corn in to make sure he scored.
Yeah. Yeah. But see, that's one of the things people don't understand. This is one of my mentors that I have for coaching. The first thing he told me, he goes, it doesn't matter what you know until your players know you care.
If your players
don't know you truly care about them and have their best interests at heart, they're not going to go the extra mile for you. Mm-hmm. And that kind of looks like their season. They were one game away from the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah, because I thought they were in, but I didn't realize the Packers control their own destiny. I thought New Orleans won. They in now.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I'm going to answer Raymond. So, Raymond, to go back on what your question was, you said, I'm an FSU fan. Your honest opinion, do you think we got robbed or it was the right decision? I feel like you got robbed, but, I mean, I was front lines for y'all, man. Like, first of all, I'm an ACC guy, but I felt like, you know, you went undefeated. So, I felt like even if they think you're going to get your head beat in, you did what was asked of you as a power five. You know, but I understand because even when your quarterback went down 3 weeks before the decision took place, everybody said, well, Florida State ain't going to go to the college football playoffs. And I think they did y'all a disservice by still leaving y'all there going into even the Florida game. They should have just dropped y'all off then. But they kept y'all there going into the ACC championship game. I don't know why. That's what they. That's to me. That's when they kind of set themselves up for this vitriol of, wait a minute, I just won my conference championship and dominated Louisville, even though my quarterback stinks. That's one of the better offenses, and we dominated them. And then you left me off. And yes, Georgia probably is the best team in college football, but they lost too late in the year for us to see them on the biggest stage, beat two teams to win it. Sorry, Georgia fans.
The champ is often not the best team in the country. The champ is the team that got hot at the right time.
Right
matchups.
Yeah.
But that Michigan team last night, Florida State don't stop them. Not between the tackles. Because that's where their meat and potatoes come, is between the tackles. Most teams now, if you really pay attention, are set up. It's like we used to say.
Florida State's strength on defense. I would love to see those two.
They have the ends.
Yeah, that's why I was just saying. I'm not disagreeing with you, but I would have loved to see Florida State and Michigan, because that's strength on strength. You know what I'm saying? Not saying they would have beat them, but I would have loved to see that matchup.
That Michigan defensive line, though.
Oh, yeah. They would have gave Florida. Now when it went to Florida State having the ball, yeah, I don't want to see that. I'm just saying I would have loved to see Florida State defense versus Michigan offense. When, once, like, just punt the ball again so I can see your defense again. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because them jokers, they were after them, man. Penix couldn't sit.
And that was my main thing, like, going into the national championship. Like, I love Penix and receivers. You know, I'm a skilled guy, so I was excited about seeing them on offense. But I was like, yo, like, Michigan show versus Bama, 4 to 5 guys, that's all they need. And they hunt. Like, legit hunt. And I understand how explosive Washington is. And it's always the same, man. Like, somebody running it at you and producing is totally different than somebody throwing it at you and producing. Like, when somebody run at you, that takes your heart, when somebody just running right at you versus airing it out. Because you could blame a lot of things, like blown coverage, bad leverage, not communicating. There's so many ways you can fool folks to just saying, oh, we beating ourselves. But when somebody mauling you, and it was a couple of times they were holding, when they mauling you and they got damn near 200 yards rushing at halftime, you looking at your troops like, hold on, come here. Let me feel your chest. Okay, that's still, it still work. Yeah, your heart still work. Yeah, because they about to take your heart if you don't change something. Like, ain't no hoopla, rah-rah. Like, you got to get it together. So.
That was one of the things I think at halftime, one of the reporters said that the O-line coach for Michigan was like, we got them. They know we're the better team. Let's yeah. keep going.
Raymond, Texas defense is tough, too. Texas got a tough defense. Mm-hmm. I ain't going to do watching it like that, man. Texas got a good defense. Say, yeah. What's good with you, bro?
Your punk ass is going to stop taking personal shots at me, too, nigga.
Hey, anytime he say the word he said at the air with conviction like that, then you know what it is. With old, hey, said man, just smile in your photos, man. Stop, hey, man, you're an older guy, man. All this looking all mean mugging, nah, man. Hey, look,
I can take you back to my third grade pictures. I didn't smile when I was a kid. I don't smile when I'm now.
You need to smile, man.
No. You gotta mature, bro.
But ship me your Cash App. I'm buying you lunch for the rest of the week.
Who?
You.
What I do?
None. I'm just buying you rotisserie chicken for the rest of the week.
Oh, because y'all gonna beat us down there in Raymond James. Hey, yo. I don't know if you know this, Reese, but I shared on Facebook. Matter of fact, I think I could show that on Facebook. It's ironic that Falcon fans are mad at the Saints for what they did, because couple years later they returned a fumble for a touchdown and they was up by 9 points. It was like Drew Brees and him tried to score late. Mm-hmm. He fumbled and was the OC Umanyora picked up the fumble and took it to the crib as time expired. And I shared it with one of my homeboys who's a Falcons fan. He tried to act like I was still focused on what New Orleans was doing. I'm like, no, I'm talking about your team. He ran it in. And your OC Umanyora was like, bro, you're a rival. You thought I was going to fall down just because time expired? Like, I'm going
That's
to score.
My thing. I've been on the good and the bad end of running up the score. Run it up. I'm sorry. Like, my thing is, if I'm good enough to stop it, I'll stop it. If I'm not, I deserve it.
Especially against a rival. But in that situation, Jameis was dead fucking wrong.
Hey, you got to tell him the backstory like you told me, Reese, and see if you still feel like that.
Was Jameis wrong, or was the team wrong? That's what I don't like.
Jameis and the team was wrong.
Okay, so do you also? Well, I don't even know why I asked you this question, but do you share the that he should be cut, or the whole team should be? I mean, because at that point, if you cut him for doing that, you got to cut the whole team.
What you think, Seth? So here's the play right here of OC a couple of years ago. And he shared this. OC Umanyora shared this. He said, ahead by 9 points with no timeouts left, I could have easily have taken a knee or ran out of bounds, but I believe you owe it to the fans to humiliate your division rivals whenever you get the opportunity. And you see Drew Brees pump fake, try to scramble, get stripped. OC pick it up at the 15, Took that thing to the crib, waving bye-bye and everything.
You goddamn right I'll do that.
Hey, yo, look at buddy chasing.
Like Tech Mobile.
But I know, but this right here is probably counterintuitive to what I was saying, but yeah, I would do that too. But when you're given a direct order, quote unquote, you should follow it.
Players change plays all the time.
And like I was telling, like I said on the post, he did that shit multiple times when he was here in Tampa.
Players change plays all the time.
Is it because it's Jameis Winston?
No, it's not because he's Jameis Winston. No.
No, no. I'm asking. So here's that came out wrong. My bad. So here's my thing. If that is a multiple Super Bowl winning guy that decided to do that for a teammate, and I'm not saying you said, do you think the consensus of the majority of folks would be like, that's don't do that? It seems like if somebody's successful, will allow more gray area. You know what I'm saying? Like even like coaching styles, like if somebody has a bunch of championship, but they're an asshole, what are they going to say? Well, I mean, I guess it worked. He win. You know what I'm saying?
You mean Sean Payton?
Nah, I mean, I don't consider him because he only won one. You know what I'm
people
saying?
Still hold him like
it's not even that. He has a right to be one. Everybody knows Sean Payton is one petty dude when it comes to football.
Yeah.
But
okay.
I'm kind of with you, Ahmad. If it's somebody else.
Damn, Mike Vrabel got fired.
Oh man. So he's going to New England.
Nah, but from what I'm saying, it said they mutually parted ways.
Oh, okay.
So he's going to New England now.
No, I actually think he's going to Atlanta.
I got so a colleague of mine asked me, what do I think about if the Commanders use their draft picks to trade for Bill Belichick like the Bucks did for Gruden?
I don't know. First of all, I don't
like can't do Gruden. That no more, dude. We because what do? We traded some draft picks and gave them some cash for John Gruden, yeah. Right?
Yeah. Hold on. You know, and I regret every bit of that because he destroyed that team.
Hey, I got a question because you a Bucks fan, Raymond.
Why would like don't bring Bucks up fan. That name?
And Shannon Sharp said this. I hate when people do this. I really do. He took the same team. Why did he use Baker Mayfield as an example and same team?
It's not.
Have y'all had the same team since Jameis left 4 years ago?
That is not the same team that we had when Jameis left.
It's definitely not the same team.
Because I can understand the Tom situation. I can understand using Tom's name. I see that. When people say that and I look at it, I'm like, okay, I give you that. Even though you added guys, but majority of the core guys, you know, I give you I have no qualm. But Shannon tried to be slick and say Baker Mayfield too, because Raymond just shared it too. I'm just like, that ain't the same. That weren't the same team.
Byron Leftwich isn't on the sideline anymore. That's a huge thing.
Mm-hmm. Todd Bowles ain't DC. We had a different quarterbacks coach, a different running back coach. Definitely had a whole lot of different defensive coaches. So it's not the same team. No, it's not.
And Canales has proven himself for being able to take quarterbacks that were previously
trouble.
Call them has-beens, bust like Geno. He had Geno looking great last season. Geno ain't looked like that this season.
Yeah. You got some coaches, and I said this to a gentleman I was speaking to, we're discussing like how sometimes coaches don't get enough credit when they stay out there, like they get out the way. You know what I'm saying? Like I was talking about the Eagles and how the difference with the coordinators, and he was like, but the head coach still got a coach. I said a lot of times when you look at head coaches that are very successful, look at their coordinators. That's on any level. Majority of the time, their coordinators are just as good. They're really good at their job. To me, the best head coaches get out the way. They don't try to micromanage and control every damn thing, especially when they know that ain't their field. A lot of times, your head coach is just the ultimate manager. They just know how to manage egos, manage the scheme and how it's implemented, and they get out the way. And I think, you know, talking about, you know, your coach with these quarterbacks, he's a guy that, to me, removes his own self-pride and just say, all right, what do you do good? Let's build around that. I may not like it, but damn it, it works with you. So I'm going to do it. And to me, that's really good coaching.
That's what people are getting wrong about game manager, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because they love to use the term, I don't like him. He's a game manager. He's a game manager. Well, somebody has to manage the game, right?
Yeah.
Somebody has to manage the game. That doesn't mean that person is going to be the person that's going to come out and take over. Like, you can't, yeah. I'm sorry, you can't throw the ball 34, 40 times if you are not able to also turn and hand the ball off.
Yeah.
And yep. all these teams that can only throw the ball, look at them now. Look at the Jaguars. Where they at? They're at home.
Yep. You can't ask your QB to play hero ball all the time. Sometimes he got to be a simple game manager.
Justin Bro, Herbert's at home.
Defense is rolling right now, brother. Don't get a ball back, okay?
And that's one of the things I'm looking at that I'm like, the difference last year versus this year for the Eagles, Steichen is a huge, huge hold that was left there.
Yes.
That offense does not look the same. Mm. It's the same playbook. Same calls.
Situation of football is totally different. Mm-hmm. That's why I tell folks when people just say, I use UVA for example. Like UVA had a special season as far as offensively in 21, and then you had turnover in coaches. And the first year we had an offensive coordinator, he had the same talent in quarterback. They said he should have just ran the offense that Coach Anae ran. And I was like, in theory, that sounds like it's simple, but what happens in situational football? You haven't mastered this playbook, so you just can't go to a money play. That's why people run their own scheme and then try to find how their scheme can elevate the talent which they have, and they move things around, because when it comes to situational football, they know exactly what to go to. That's why you see a lot of delayed games and second guessing, because guys are running something that's not theirs. You ain't going to be able to win when it counts with somebody else's playbook, because it ain't, you don't know like the back of your hand. You haven't mastered it yet.
That was something last night that I saw. Those Washington plays took a long time to develop. Mm. They were slow developing. They needed to have a quick, you know, you could really, you know, Ahmad, a lot of times you can mirror concepts on side of the field.
Yeah.
It makes for quicker reads.
Yeah.
Right. They didn't have that. A lot of their plays took a while to develop. They were, you know, trying to move guys and here and there. They didn't have that amount of time. Whereas if maybe they had had a quick drag across the middle where you could hit them in that soft spot.
Yeah.
And give them room to run. They didn't have that.
That showed me. Go ahead, Seth.
You know, Reese, watching that Washington game last night, it reminded me, with them slow developing plays, like you said, it reminded me of the first year Bruce Arians was in Tampa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And anytime, this is just my opinion, anytime you have slow development plays, that's showing me that you're impatient. You want to take shots. You want to hurry up and score and get off the field. Because to me personally, if I'm a defensive guy, I feel offenses that could be very methodical down the field, that would take what you give them and, you know, say, hey, like the dink-a-dunks, like the Drew Breeses that just throw it here. Defenses hate that because it's – You're asking the guy repeatedly, tackle in space. It's just like running the football. You asking the guy to tackle, versus if you're taking deep shots, the margin of error increases. So Washington showed yesterday, and this is from the staff down, you got impatient. Like the energy was like, oh, we're going to take a shot. Like you saw something in film. And was like, oh yeah, we got them. We could just run this. Just give us time. If I just got to give you time, then maybe we need to set it up better. Because a lot of times the setup gives you time.
Yeah.
So if a quarterback running, hey man, give us time on this play. Whoa, this ain't good. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And, this ain't good. So yeah, I agree with you.
That's how when I looked at the sides of the ball to start coaching. Mm-hmm. I said, I'd much rather coach offense than to coach defense. Because defense, I have to protect the entire field.
Everything. Every blade of grass.
Offense, I'm poking to find a hole. As soon as I find that hole, that's all I need.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that's just a different in mentality. And a lot of guys miss that. I think a lot of times these offensive guys, like you said, they try to prove that they're smarter than everybody.
Yeah, it for no reason. Sometimes you ain't like keep it simple, stupid. The KISS formula, like, no, you ain't gotta be super smart right now.
Exactly.
You can really dumb it down. We coming right at you, brother. Exactly. Out of dust.
You know, I can run a post and an out on this side and a post and an out on the other side, and I can find something.
Go ahead, say what you about to say.
I wanted to say I don't think the OC for the Eagles was the biggest loss. It was the DC that was a bigger loss.
Yeah. If you grade the fall off, the defense fell off more. So I don't think either statement is wrong. that's how bad they. That's how the drop off has been. It really has.
Yeah. You think we can win this one, Seth?
I mean, historically, Philly is 1-9 in Tampa. Hurts' finger is hurt. There's a good chance A.J. Brown isn't going to play. I don't know about Devontae. Yeah, and that defense has been playing like shit. I think there's a good chance we can win.
Yeah. Agreed.
And Mike Evans.
They just don't look good. They done limped in. They done limped into the playoffs. How you start off 10-1 and you had one more win? Think about that.
The 49ers took y'all soul. Ever since that Niners game. Even they took y'all soul, bro.
Hey, even before then, it was bad. Like the first Cowboys game was bad. Look, I mean, they should have really won that game. It took a lot of, you know, home cooking. But yeah, the Niners made sure the little heart that was left went bye-bye.
And the bad part about it is between the Eagles and the Cowboys and us, the Niners only put 27 up on us. They dropped 42 on y'all. So I think we have a better chance against the Niners than y'all do.
No, we're not going to do that argument.
Hey, man. You got me right there. I was like, what? Hey, yeah. What the hell is Stephon there? I need his badge right now.
They're saying that Baker extension is looking 2-year, $54 million.
Ooh, get that bread, Baker.
Hey, look, I told you, he has my full support now.
Wow. Hey, look, Baker happy because them taxes different in Tampa. And you know he be at E-Boy City.
He a family man. Come on, man.
He getting burst.
Yeah, Reese, that's kind of hilarious hearing that come from me, right?
I'm telling you, it's hey, you don't know how big of a boost that is.
Hey, because Baker did something in his first year, the bitch with it didn't.
What the B Wigger, what he didn't do?
Win the division.
Hey, man. Hey, let me push back right quick. Man, this division this year was some trash cans. Y'all, the division was 1-9. No, don't get me wrong. I'm not hating. You won a division. But this is like when Matt Castle won 11 games and he came in third in the division because Cats won 13 games and 12 games. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you can't win a division this year, you some trash cans. No disrespect to y'all. Like, y'all probably will beat the Eagles. And, you know,
we applauded the Vikings last year for having the second best record in the NFC and what happened to them.
No, we applauded the Vikings because they won a lot of games.
Yeah.
One possession games.
Yeah, exactly.
They won as many one possession games than y'all won games this year. That's saying a lot.
That's not saying a lot because it's the same outcome last year. They went home. They picked one pick after us.
Where D Money at, man? I can't even.
Oh, I'll tell him. Don't even.
I can't fight his battles for him. I'm not familiar with them.
You already know. I will find India in every way to discredit Brady.
Yes,
we won that battle. We won that battle. The Vikings can't say anything to me till next year. Do we even play them next year? I don't know.
And Reese, you know what? You know a Dolphin fan tried to cook me. Bruh, I got him with this line yesterday. The Dolphins won 11 games this year, right? And you know the Dolphins haven't won a playoff game since 2000.
Mm-hmm.
Guess how many playoff wins we got since 2000?
I honestly don't even know.
11.
11. Okay. A lot of these teams that just got good, their fans don't know how to handle success. Like, I talked to a Lions fan yesterday. He's like, man, I don't know why everybody wants to hate on us. It's success. Welcome to success.
There we go. Talk that talk. Welcome to success.
We endured it for 3 years.
You know, success brings haters. So if you got a lot of haters, then you're doing something right.
That's true.
Yeah, that's Brady. True. Yeah, I need Steph on the show because he said we weren't gonna be shit without Brady.
Oh yeah, I don't know what Steph at.
Stephon,
I mean, I'm surprised he didn't show up. He was always the first one to pop up.
So he told me
everybody school got canceled today. So
yeah,
I know he's home.
My people getting ready to come in shortly. But Stephon told me Hassan Reddick had sacks in 707.
Say it again.
Your friend Stephon, fellow Eagle, told me Hassan Reddick had sacks in 707.
Oh, yeah. I remember he said that BS.
Yeah. Yeah. I forget.
I remember that.
I don't forget. So, yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's going to be a good weekend.
Yeah, man. Seeing these coaches getting the axe.
Who else?
I was just talking about.
I saw the Giants. Giants let go of their defensive coordinator.
They did. I mean,
look, I'm calling it right now. Yeah, you recording this.
Yep.
Mike Vrabel and Justin Fields to Atlanta.
Both of them to Atlanta?
Both of them to Atlanta.
So I'm glad you said that. So you feel like the Bears got the first pick. So you feel like they're going to keep that first pick and then trade Justin? That's what you're saying, right?
That's what I'm thinking they're going to do, yeah.
Yeah, because I was thinking, would they trade their first pick and try to get more help for him? I mean, I think that's a what would the Falcons give up? What the Falcons drafting at? Like,
I think the Falcons, they're back at eight.
The eight? Yeah. Oh, that would be a good move though.
It's somewhere like low mid level, yeah.
Because the Bears do. The Bears got like the first and the third pick or something crazy like that.
First and the ninth. Yeah.
So they could have the first, eighth, and ninth, possibly.
Yeah. Yep.
That ain't gonna be a bad move. You get Caleb. If you think Caleb is a generational talent, go get Caleb. One of these receivers gonna be there.
Real talk, right, bro.
Fellas, I got run to a meeting. I'll holler at y'all later.
Do not draft Caleb. Don't do it.
All right, bro. Let me see. Bryant said, my opinion as a lifelong Bears fan, trade it again. Okay.
But, yeah, my lunch is over. Time for me to get back to work.
Yeah, appreciate you, bro.
Yes, sir. Stop taking personal shots, nigga.
Hey, smile.
No.
All right, man. So, yeah, man, I just want to do an hour show. Look how God works. So, appreciate Reese for coming on the show. Appreciate said. You know, my thoughts with the Jameis Winston. Chicago never do right by their quarterbacks. That's what Raymond said. Yeah, man, you got to build. Anytime you draft a quarterback, man, you have to get weapons and you have to get things around them to help them out. Even generational talent need talent around them. Any quarterback you consider a generational talent, they didn't just do it without talented receivers or a talented back or some talented offensive lineman or talent on defense. It was talent around them. When it comes to Chicago Bears and Justin Fields, and this is no disrespect because they're professional athletes, some of the best in the world, who can you name on either side of the ball
without a shot of a doubt, you're like, oh man, they're talented. Now I know the back that went to Virginia Tech, I like him. But you know, when like you could just ride off and DJ Moore, hell of a receiver. But when you talk about developing quarterbacks, you had to continue to bring in assets that you can place and continue to keep them upright, keep them healthy, keep them ascending. You know what I'm saying? A lot of times you get these young quarterbacks out of college and you just grab them and say, go win for me. It's no different than what the Spurs doing with Wimby right now. You got Wimby. He got all these stats, the first player to do this, the fastest to do that. But if you don't put talent around that 7'3" generational talent, he's going to be a generational loser. And everybody's going to say he never won anything. Because they always say everybody needs a leading scorer. Everybody needs a guy on their team with gaudy stats. You losing. If you're the best player, you're going to have great stats, no wins. It's going to be held against you. They're going to say, hey, you did all that, and you don't have anything to show for. And a lot of times, quarterbacks aren't really busts. The busts are the people in charge. They never get blamed for somebody not reaching the potential in which people attach to that talent. You don't put anything around them. You don't put enough tutelage, the right coaching. But the player is always blamed as the bus, but we allow management to not take any blame. We don't say the management is a bus. Get them out of here. You failed as a GM. You failed as a coach. We'll just say, oh, this player is a bus. Then the player could go somewhere else, and it's like, oh, he revitalized his career. No, he got better coaching. He was a better situation, better scheme. They will always work their tail off. There's just so many moving parts that go on in football that the easiest thing for us to do is take a very lazy approach to it. We don't want to work as a fan to really get down to what really took place. As a fan, we could become lazy and just say, man, that dude a bust. He suck. I knew he wasn't that good. You could see it on X, Y, and Z. I could tell you he wasn't good. And a lot of times that's not the case. It's really not. There are times that there is a case where a player just didn't put in the time. A player just didn't mature and continue to develop at the rate you thought they would. There are cases where that is true. But a lot of the times, we just say somebody's a bust. We do, in my opinion. That's just my personal opinion. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, man, as far as the Jameis Winston situation, a lot of times we draw on what we were taught or what we felt like is the public perception of the right and wrong thing to do. So a lot of times with folks who have an issue with the Jameis Winston and the Saints offense saying, hey, we want to get Jamal Williams in for a touchdown. Everybody says, if you were going to do that, you should have came out in a regular formation to alert the defense that we're going to try to score. If I want to give Jamal Williams a short shot touchdown, I'm going to practice deception. Yeah, I'm going out in the victory formation. That's going to guarantee that he gets in. I'm not lining up in our formation. I could run the risk of the coach calling a timeout. What the hell is that? We didn't call that formation. They run down there and call a timeout. If I really want to get him a touchdown, I do what they did for him. And everybody says it's a brotherhood. Guys stick together. Because as Reese communicated, there's a rift between the players and the head coach. So we understand why it was so easy for them to undermine him. They don't respect him. That was my first thing. That's showing me they don't really respect him. And even his comment showed me something wrong. Now, if you respect the coach, because even Jameis jumped out there and said, hey, don't get mad at the coach. That was our decision. At least he was responsible enough to say that. But even if you respect the coach, he's going to know that you're trying to do that. You know what I'm saying? Like sometimes you respect the coach and don't get me wrong. You respect the coach and still do what you want sometimes because you just like, especially if money involved, like, damn it, hey man, call my number. I don't care what he say. I need my money. And then if you get fined, or Shannon Sharpe said, if a coach cuts you off that,
then y'all had like, if you as a coach cut Jameis Winston because of that, oh, I ain't see Zardy. I'm gonna get you in his art. If you as a coach just cut him just off that, the respect won't there between either one of y'all. You'll give somebody a mulligan. You just ain't gonna cut them. Oh, you undermining me. I'm cutting you. Nah. The team ain't gonna allow you to do it. As they, like, they gonna look at you like, what? You cut Jameis? We all, hello. 10 more of us agreed. Cut us too. You know they ain't gonna do that. But I was about to dip out, but I'm gonna let Zara get his bars off. What's good, man? I thought you had a Chicago Bears shirt on at first.
Oh, nah, it's Denver Bronco, man. What's going on, man?
What's up good? With you? Yeah.
Man, I'm recording my podcast, missing your joint, man. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, you good, man. You good.
Yeah, I appreciate the little nuggets that you're giving me sparingly. I'm not trying to ask you too much. I know I'm getting you goddamn nerves.
You good, bro. Hey, how you going to get on my nerves if I know I could be a resource?
Trust me. That's why I'm not hitting you at all at one time.
Bro, if I could be a resource, you're not getting on my nerves.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I just wanted to comment a couple things, man.
Okay.
The Jameis Winston thing, I'm kind of torn between it. No player should be cut.
Okay.
But I'm going to tell you like this. We're going to have a deep conversation. I'm going to call you my office.
Okay.
And I'm going to say, you can pull that shit again. I'm going to make sure your ass is out of here.
There you go. As you should.
You know what I'm saying? Behind closed doors, I'm going to say, you pull that shit again, you undermine me, your ass, if I go to another team, mm-hmm. You be the last guy I call. Because you know the NFL is about relationships.
Yep. Agreed.
And if you sever that relationship right on this team, you mm-hmm. won't get my call on the next go around as a backup or a possible starter. I can't depend on you.
Okay.
You know,
I ain't got no pushback with that. That's if I'm a coach, I handle the same way. I'm like, come here, dog. Like, hey, that's go Jamal. Hey man, get your ass over here. Hey,
get your motherfucking ass. What?
You know, I just got cussed out by another coach and I gotta go answer the reporters because your punk ass wanna like let me know. Like that's my thing. That let me know that it had to be a riff because if you plan on it. I would have been the first person you run to after the fact.
Yeah.
Like, hey, coach, don't get mad, bro. We, you know, Jamal got incentive, you know. And first of all,
that's
Reese made another statement, bro, that I agree with. If it's a good relationship between the head coach and Jamal, you scored 40-some points or 30-some points already, and you've been on the goal line already, hey, Jamal, go get you a tub.
Yeah.
I know you need one.
But it could go the other way around, though, bro. Not to say that the team was on the red line when it comes to money and budgeting. But you know how they sit players. Like, hey, if Jamal scored his touchdown, it's going to put us in the red. It's going to cause some problems on the other end.
You don't, I didn't even numbers, think of that. I didn't think of that.
The math may not be mathing.
I didn't think of that. Because the owner could be like, hey, what I tell you, I gave you one job. Why his? You talking about where was victory formation? Why has his ass in the game?
Yep, you don't cost us $2 million.
I ain't think of that.
Yeah, man,
that's
a
good point right there. It's funny too when you think about it because them owners don't care.
Nah, they don't
look
care.
At
they
the bottom
care.
Line.
Yeah, they don't care. They don't get two rats ass. Two more things. I'm gonna let you go, man. I want to say this. I'm gonna turn your show a little topsy turvy on this. Cause you know, right. I got this thing on my podcast called Selective Outrage that I'm doing a little segment. Your boy said the head is gonna be doing it. You know, blue pill versus red pill conversation.
Okay,
and
like
I heard
that.
I heard it on the radio station today, and I thought I would implement it on my podcast, which is coming out tomorrow. Why is it? And I'm talking strictly to us black folks.
Okay.
Why do we get dressed up for the Grammys, but we don't get dressed up for the BET Awards?
Expectations.
But shouldn't the expectation be higher though at the BET Award? Like the BET
I'm talking
Award
about
is like come as you go.
I'm with you. I'm talking now. I'm not talking about like the performers. I mean from the administrators, the people running it. Like
yeah, the crowd.
they have to set that expectation. This is the dress code.
Yeah.
Because the Oscars, we dress to impress here.
Yeah.
Like you just said, we like, and I mean, I'm gonna be honest with you. It's no different than like entrepreneur, like a black, like me, I sell shirts. If I set the expectation that you could get a discount, you're going to ask for a discount. But if I set out there, hey, man, my shirt's $35, no hassle. I set that expectation from the jump. Ain't nobody going to ask me for no hookup. But if I show out, get hookups, I can't get mad if somebody asks me for hookups. If I'm saying out loud, hey, yo, no, you know I got you. Somebody going to be like, what about me? You ain't got me too? And I feel like the same thing with the BET Awards. You get that comments, you, oh, no, you ain't got to wear nothing. You so-and-so. Another artist, he's so-and-so, be like, yo, I'm bigger than so-and-so, so I know I ain't got to wear nothing. Then he be like, I know I ain't got to wear nothing.
Yeah, they need to change that, bro.
Then boom, everything. Like, I'm with you, bro, because, I mean, look, man. It's all about the standard you set for yourself. So it's like, it's no different than you on it, bro.
It's a touchy situation. It's kind of touch and go. But I got it from the Ricky Smiley show. That was like, damn, they on to something, because
what did he say about Cat, though? Grammys, when you done with that, tell me what he said in his response to Cat. Keep going.
I mean, I'm just saying, bro. I would like to see, to me, that's picking up a little bit of the black excellence. Because that's why I call it selective outrage. You know what I'm saying? We'll go to the Grammys and the Emmys and dress up suited and booted. We'll go to the Grammys with the latest, your whatever jeans, whatever, you know what I'm saying? Looking all crazy.
Yeah.
You know, I think it starts there. And I really think BET. So
let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. Should the higher ups. So are you saying that the artists are not respecting the dress code that BET may have in place, or BET just don't have a dress code?
I think it's both. I think it's a suggestive dress code. It's like, I don't go out anymore, but it's just like in the clubs. Like, I noticed, like, in Jacksonville, we've had some issues where, let's say, you know, like the top 40 pop club, they don't let the brothers in, because the brothers came with the saggy pants. They'd be like, the bouncer be like, no, you can't get in. You can't get in. But yet, I go to the African-American side of town, where we have these so-called upper class restaurants with the crab boils and all this stuff. They try to set the ambiance, but the people still come in with the same BS. If I'm going to like this black owned restaurant from the Facebook, it looks great colors, it looks like a nice ambiance. I come in there, man, in like a damn nightclub.
But once you, so if you, not to cut you off, if you go into a restaurant you haven't been to, I don't know if you do this, you might do this, you might not. If you see something look like it's a great place to go, do you ask what the dress code is?
I try to set the standard wherever I go, regardless of what restaurant it is.
Okay.
I dress up as me. People call me the Carlton Banks, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, yeah.
If I'm going to a steakhouse, I'm throwing on some nice khakis or polo. I might even wear one of my suits. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I'm gonna look nice.
Yeah. Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
That makes sense. So here's the thing. Yeah. So I asked you that question because now this allows the listeners and the viewers to tap into your lane. Oh, okay. So now they won't think you tripping. They're like, all right, that's just what he do. You know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes, a lot of times, man, like, all jokes aside, people just don't understand why certain people have that stance, because they never use themselves as an example. You know, like, if you just say, because me, and then you say something, then they're like, that's why a lot of times when me and you talking and you'll say something, I'm like, oh, now I understand. You like, what? I'd be like, because you said X, Y, Z. That helps me. That helps me better learn. Like, now it's like it's not empathy. People think when you say empathy, it means like they feel sorry for it. That's sympathy. Empathy allows me to understand why you feel that way, because that's how you approach it.
Yeah.
So now when you say red or blue pill, are black entertainers attend the BET same way they attend the Oscars? Coming from you asking that question, it's like, I understand why he's saying we got to take pride in our attire, because he takes pride. I'm gonna wear some joggers with a ball hawk shirt on, you know what I'm saying, not thinking nothing, unless you say, hey man, you can't wear that in here, because I'm gonna be casual unless you say I gotta dress up, because I don't really like dressing up.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to be like, shoot, I'll go to BET Awards with my joggers or some Jordans or some black Air Force Ones when I'm feeling ignorant. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, don't get me wrong, bro. I mean, people have their, like, as a black businessman, both of us, we don't have, like, when we was growing up, we had BET, Teen Something. We had a lot of shows that represented blackness, black excellence.
Alex on you, dog. He says, Zara setting the standard sounds hilarious.
Hey, man, sometimes you got to grow up, man. You got
to
grow up.
Hey, not to cut you off, I wanted to, because I saw I had Dale's comment up here before we keep going, because I like this conversation. He talked about how they didn't give Marshawn Lynch the goal line carry in the Super Bowl because they had to pay him that MVP money, and it cost him the Super Bowl. And look, I don't, and if that's the truth, that sometimes it do backfire when you get too corporate, trying to dictate, like, if somebody can get their money, can't get their money. So I appreciate that, Dale. But
that's a good point.
Yeah, then Raymond said the BET Awards is more jewelry wearing than anything. He ain't lying, dog, because these young boys wear. Shout out to Mr. T. This is your fault. Cause somebody tapped into the old school of you and then Slick Rick, because y'all the only two that wore every chain and necklace you could have in your drawer. And then it created a phenomenon. The Ghostface Killer, he took as many chains as you want, the biggest chain. You know what I'm saying? So Raymond, you ain't lying, because these young boys, I don't, like, some of the necklaces, I call them necklaces. I'm old school. That's my grandmama. Come on. The necklaces they be wearing, I'd be like, yo, that's like five houses that they wearing.
But you know, Ahmad.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
But you know what?
Unless it's fake.
It is. It's all costume jewelry. I'm not saying it's all, but it's costume jewelry, bro.
I ain't gonna tell you. I ain't gonna say their name, but a friend of mine who played in the NFL, so I got a lot of them. They told me all you need is one article of jewelry to be real. The rest, make it fake. Because like somebody said, no. So if you got one chain, or if you got a watch, so say you wearing a watch with five chains, just make sure one of those articles, or earrings, make sure one of those articles are real, right? So somebody, man, that's fake. All you do is take the real one and show them the one real thing. Everything else could be fake.
I don't blame them, because I wouldn't wear that much. Like, you got a whole house on your neck. You got $1 million on your neck, which is stupid. Somebody going to snatch that, bro. And I don't.
Unless it's a watch. Certain watches appreciate.
Yeah. Certain watches. Yeah. But when you putting diamonds and putting snowman on your, man.
Hold on, dog. Nope. Young Jeezy is a friend of the show. Don't say snowman.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, like, when I watched Soulja Boys live, all he was clanging, clang, clang, blue face.
He talking about what he was talking about. Hold on, dog. You talking about the infamous when he was saying he was shooting the dude?
Yeah. Pow, pow. Yeah, oh, I know. Pow, pow, pow. You know what I'm saying?
All he was, I don't want no smoke, Soulja Boy. I don't want you going on live talking about, who is this dude right here? Who is a ball hawk?
Man.
Ball hawk.
Last thing, man. The game last night, man.
I gave you your flowers.
What?
But go ahead. No, I'm gonna see if you allude to it. Go ahead. I gave you your flowers. Go ahead. Give me your assessment.
I want to say I was right. Two things.
Mm-hmm. What's your two things?
First of all, Penix looked like Lamar Jackson last year. He did, bruh. He thrown off the wrong foot, got the do-rag on. I said, oh, my God. What are we doing? And you at the University of Washington. You can't get no whiter than the University of Washington. Got that goddamn purple non-later do-rag on, and you're fucking up. Excuse my language. I'm sorry, Ma. I know you're watching the show. You know what I'm saying?
Why Lamar catch a stray?
Huh? Huh? He reminded me of Lamar. Not this Lamar.
What?
Last year's Lamar. That's what he looked like.
He didn't run.
Lamar,
nobody that don't run can't remind you of Lamar, bro.
It was the inaccuracy.
You could say Jalen Hurts. You could say he reminds you of Jalen Hurts versus the Tampa Bay Bucks' his first playoff game.
I'm going to say that, and he reminds me of Tua. That left hand, just throw it in the air. That should remind, on a timing pattern, should look like Tua, man.
What's your second one? Because your second one may allude to what I was thought you was going to say.
The physicality of Michigan. Like, I ain't trying to be funny. Like,
what you say? What did you say? Because I don't want to cut you up. I want to make sure people understand why I'm agreeing with you so fast. What did you say when Alabama was playing Michigan? You remember your first post on Facebook during the first quarter of that game? What did you say about Alabama?
They're going to take an L.
All right. What did Michigan do yesterday?
Run the ball.
That you always talk about.
Yeah. Run the fucking ball.
And the first thing I said, bro, when I intro the show today and I start talking about a recap, I said, I surprised him the first one here. But Zara always say, old school, run the damn football. Stop being so cute. And Michigan said, you got all that firepower over there. We about to make this ugly and do a Zara run right at you.
You know what it reminded me of, though, before I go? It reminded me of 1995 when Hampton High played Kickertan. Y'all had the high scoring. All you had a great Ahmad Hawkins. Ronald Curry, Bobby Blizzard, we just mucked the game with a random ball.
Oh, hold on. Hold on. I'm not going to say you wrong, but you got to add one more thing to the story. Okay. So that helped muck it up. But y'all did muck the game up, but that helped a lot.
It's all good, man. It's all good. I'm about to get out of here. Oh, one more thing, bro.
Your snippets for your podcast, they dope. Keep that up. I like that.
See, I might get in trouble though.
Why? Because you're using copyright and stuff?
I gotta find out the rules of like when I do it to YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, YouTube like, might get you. No. Huh? So YouTube won't give you a strike. Whatever record company or label or just take credit of the monitoring. If you reach over 1,000. You reach the thresholds to get monetization, then they'll pull money from it.
Oh,
so they won't actually give you a strike. What they do now is they understand people want to use music. They'll just start, they take some off the top if you are reaching the money threshold. Yeah.
When I get on your podcast, people be calling me. One more thing, man. Yeah. I'm coming out with the episode tomorrow.
Mm.
And I found this sound bite. It's going to be comical, bro. You know, the Jacksonville, I used to roll with Big John Henderson.
Yeah.
And he used to have this ritual when he gets slapped before the game.
Get slapped, yeah.
Bro, I got that as one of my sound bites, man.
That's dope. That's one of your sound effects.
Yeah, I'm talking about the Jaguars. Bro, it's funny, man. So,
yo, you got to get Spodey on the episode if you're talking about the Jaguars.
If she stopped being so she be trying to be confrontational towards me, man, all the
time.
That's
what you need.
I know, man, but.
What are you talking about? Somebody got to be.
Nah, she be threatening my life. I'll send the goons to your house.
That's great. Hey, bro, if you haven't realized, that's great. That's great what content. People want. Especially with you starting out. Like, come on, man. Hold on. You mean a confrontation dude like yourself not going to invite other confrontational folks to antagonize the antagonizer?
Yeah.
Hold up. I can see it in your eyes.
What?
You realize why I used to be like, yo, we got to be serious this episode now. Look, now the light bulb went off in your head now that you're recording your own.
Yeah,
now you understand the heart. Be like, hey, this episode, yo, we got to be serious. See, look at you.
I got a lot of thoughts up here, bro. It's roaming, man.
Make sure you write it down, man. Write it down or use the notepad on your phone. Like anytime an idea pop in your head, because you be thinking, I'll remember as soon as the mic go on. And you'll forget it, right? Like you'll forget that you had that thought. And as soon as you hit stop and you start editing, it'll come back to you. You'll be like, God day.
I'm sitting down. I done recorded three segments in my episode.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't forgot to label them. You know, the little track machine don't say it as a name. There's a number and all this
stuff. I
got to go through them and delete and edit. Them, bro. Yeah, bro, it's crazy.
You do. Unless you're trying to put them out as like whole episodes together. But yeah, man, you got to like give yourself bullet points. Even if you don't feel like you don't write an entire script word for word what you're going to say, have bullet points to where you always know where your thoughts were at when you were in your creative mode to where you never forget. Because you have the best ideas when you're doing something.
Yeah, right off the rip.
Yeah, because then you'll build something off. You know, it's like I always harken everything. I love battle rap, but like battle rappers do that. Like they have a bar, and then as they say the bar, boom, they something pop up off. It's like a building block. You know what I'm saying? But if we don't write it down, you be you know what I'm saying? You start saying, you know what I'm saying, too much.
Yeah, like, I had to delete a couple of minutes. I'm like, I got a whole blooper reel, man, so I might release that as well.
But that's good that you're doing it recorded, though, because then once you start having, like, live shows where you have to be fluid, you'll be very fluid. But a lot of people don't realize, man, when you're recording and when you first start off, it's a lot of takes because you might be rambling.
It's pressure, too.
Yeah.
You
hit that button, you like, welcome to
I was practicing on so I'm reading ads and stuff, right? Practicing on my ads, okay, and stuff like that. And I had this BMW ad that I read. I was like, I got this. And I hit the button. It sounded like I was in the first grade trying to read, bro. I was like, hell.
Yeah, bro. You gotta read like every line, like each line three times. If you can, try to read each line. Like pick how long the line is, like whether it's like seven words or five words, like you read it, wherever you may pause at, just keep reading that a bunch of times to see which one sound the best and if you got to get another ear to hear it. And then what the good thing about reads, if you making the read to where you just hitting a button while you recording, if you're not doing it live, you build them together to where it's fluid, it sound great. Cause that's what doing commercials. You know what I'm saying?
Is that why it sounds like he's reading? Then it goes to another snippet.
Yeah,
because you add. Okay, now
they paste it together. So he read the second line the best the third time. Put the third one there. That was one take.
Because there'll be an inflection change on the voice. You can just tell they cut it and added it. You know, the next best thing in there.
Yeah, I did the commercial that played, like Abra Insurance. It's a radio commercial here. I remember the first ever reading I did. Mm-hmm. Man, I had to do the, hey, look at you, all grown up and need a car insurance. I knew how to do that 10 times. It was like, do it again. You said this word like this. Get more excited. So one time I was like, they just kept coaching me. Yeah. Hey, look at you. Then it would stop me. Nah, do it again. I was like, hey, look at you. They was like, what? They said, say it again. Hello, look at you. No, I was like, hey, look at you. Yeah, so it was like it's like a blooper. Yeah, so
have you heard?
Yeah, the commercial.
Have you heard it?
Yeah, that commercial like 10 years old now.
No. Have you heard the blooper reel though?
It's funny.
I'm gonna say this. I gotta go, my guy. You may want to release it just for like a content, just let everybody know you're vulnerable.
I don't got it though.
But you might want to request it because the guy I'm friends with, I used to work with, he does Madden's voice.
Oh yeah, I remember you told me that. Yeah.
And we was on Instagram. He released his blooper reel. That shit funny.
It is?
Hell yeah. Because he's so professional. He's doing all these commercials for BET, NBC, the soccer world, all that.
Yeah.
And he says, well, here's how it sounds when I'm not.
Oh, you know a site that could get you linked with is voices.com.
What is that?
Voices.com.
What is that?
Voiceover work. So you pay for... I don't know if you want to call it a subscription, but you pay for a page to create a page, basically like a resume. Like it's like you share like I'm Czar. I want to be a voiceover for this content, whatever. This is my resume. Mm-hmm. You pay a fat rate. It was like $500, but then companies, it's like LinkedIn companies see, they send you bids and you basically compete for it. You read it, record it, send it back, and they decide if they're going to use you or Joe Smo over here, but they send you the work. Yeah, it's called voices.com.
I'm going to check that out then, bro. I appreciate it, man.
Yep.
But I asked that guy, he don't want to tell me how to get into it. He got an agent and all. Hey, you got to work hard. I'm like,
hey, man, look, I ain't going to lie, man. A lot of times people ain't going to... It ain't a bad thing.
Yeah. They're not going to give you the jewels.
They ain't gonna give you the juice because you're gonna be competent, like in a sense, competition. You could take some work from them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, but they gotta do this, do that. I'm like,
the joint you be teasing me about, the Red Diamond coffee and tea.
Yeah.
You should see some days I'd be struggling with that.
Really?
When I'm doing a voiceover for the video.
Yeah.
Because the video is 90 seconds or less, because I got to do it live at the home games. I got to do it live in stadium, that same video. Yeah. So, yeah. So the hardest thing that about that is I try to make it the same. I don't write none of that down. I look at the film for probably like 10 minutes. There's usually like 3 or 4 plays. And I look at it and then I'm thinking like I'm doing Tonser. I'm commentating, but having fun. I'm like having fun, but being informative because I know I got to be in front of the fans.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But there's been times where they show me the video live when we do rehearsal and they take one play out.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And when the first time they did it, I short circuited because I had everything memorized. Like it didn't matter. Man, after that day, I said, you know what? I got to do what I do at Tonsa. I got to just freestyle it. So
yeah, it'd be
a lot of times when I'd be in that stadium, what I say there is totally different what they saw on Twitter. And they'd be like, because I said, so when we played Georgia Tech, a kid took a swing pass like 60 yards. I was like, made a nice little move, cut inside right here. You see the elite speed, and you see he's taking it to the apartments because it was like their building. It looked like it was apartment buildings. And, you know, that's an Atlanta thing, to the apartments.
Oh, yeah, in the background, yeah.
Nobody that was really from here knew what that meant. But when I walked past Georgia Tech players, they was like, what you know about departments?
that's a plus right there, though, bro.
Yeah.
The opportunity to ad-lib, man, into your environment. That's good right there.
Yeah, and I mean, because the crowd is involved. Like, the crowd may start cheering while you're talking. Like, that could throw you off. And then there's an echo, because I don't wear the earpiece, because I want to make sure I can hear how loud I am. So it's an echo. Yeah.
So when you at Scott Stadium, they be like, because I ain't never really watched the UVA game, and you come on and shit like that.
Well, the TV copy don't show it.
Okay.
So once they do our starting lineups on the Jumbotron, they go and fans turn your attention to Who Vision for today's keys to the game with the ball hawk, Amar Hawkins. Take it away, Amar. And I'd be like, thanks. Welcome, Wahoo fans, to Scott Stadium. This is week, whatever week it is. Today we welcome whoever we playing.
Yeah.
Take this walk up me to the hill, because the hill leads you up to Who Vision. So our famous grass hill, we call it the hill. So I said,
hill behind the field goal post?
Yep. I say, take this walk with me up the hill. Yep. To Who Vision for my keys to the game. Where the camera's on me. Mm-hmm. And then I got to look, use my peripherals to see when a Jumbotron or Who Vision switches to the video. Because now I can look up. If I really wanted to, I could have a cue card. And I could be doing this if I wanted to. Yeah. But it wouldn't be organic. But a lot of times when I'm about to start, they start cheering.
That throw you off right there.
So I can't hear what I'm saying. So yeah. I got to, and sometimes I've messed up, but they be cheering that they didn't hear me mess up. I'd be like, you know what I'm saying?
Quick question. Uh-huh. So you ever tripped up the hill? Like you ever stumbled?
No. So walking the hill is a virtual walk, meaning leading them up to it. Yeah, I ain't walking up there. Nah, I ain't walking. Heck no. Mm-mm. Okay. I wish I could. Now, there might be an idea next year that I do it, like, just know the plays and just be in the fan, like, with the fans in the hill doing it. That might be, because somebody gave me an idea that was like, yo, why don't you do, like, the preview, like, with fans, like, in the stand somewhere, you know what I'm saying? So they could be around you, you know what I'm saying? Like, some old, like, MTV type vibe where they used to be introducing, like, hey, you want to introduce the next video? Boom. Yeah. And they... Cause then
what you could do, Hawk, is sort of like Clemson. You could I gotta go after this. I got some time. My bad, bro. What you could do, you know how Clemson
run down the hill.
Down. You could be like coming down the hill. Hey, this is Amar Hawkins.
You trying to get me to fall down, bro? You trying to get me to fall? You trying to get me to fall down?
Nah, bro. I'm just saying it would be dope if you had a pre-cut. Not live.
But oh, I got
hey,
you.
Here's Amar Hawkins. You're running down. Hey, this is Amar Hawkins. Welcome to the Red Diamond Tea Coffee. Here's today's keys of victory. And they go live to you.
Oh, that's like dope.
You ran down the hill, but you there, you know.
Yeah, that's true. Saying. Yeah. Have like an intro video too.
Yeah, bro. Yeah. Bro, you got a lot of that. Yeah.
That's dope.
I'm not asking for no money for that idea. I'm just saying, bro.
I got you, man. I see a couple of tilapias, you know what I'm saying?
I'll holler at you, but I'll holler at you later, bro.
All right, bro. Peace, man.
All right, peace.
All right, everybody, man. Appreciate y'all checking in on this lunch. If your lunch been this long, you got a hell of a job, because I went way over time. I know I said I was going to do 60, but I ended up doing 39 minutes. So that's 39. No, not 39. 99. Yeah, 99. Not 39. What the heck? So appreciate y'all, man. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube. Follow me on Twitter at IamBallHawk and Facebook Amaya Hawkins. Appreciate y'all, man. Salute. Let Jameis be great as a leader, man. And salute to the Michigan Wolverines. Go blue, go. I'm out of here. Peace.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.